Welcome to Ask the Educator, a podcast brought to you by Healthmark Industries. Are you a sterile processing technician or manager? Maybe you work in infection prevention or biomedical engineering. Whether you're a frontline tech, endoscopy tech, OR nurse, or surgical services administrator, you undoubtedly have influence in medical device processing at your facility. In each episode, we speak with experts from the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team, industry leaders, or special guests from the trenches to answer your questions and bring you relevant industry information, equipping you for excellence in medical device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, and I will be your host. Now let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I'm excited to get going here because I have one of the newest additions of the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team joining me on this episode. For those of you who do not know, Melinda Alamari is now a clinical education specialist here at Healthmark, but she began her career as a surgical tech specializing in open heart surgery. She has also worked many years in SPD, taking on a variety of positions such as Director of Education and Quality at the Medical University of South Carolina. She was lead instructor for the Central Sterile Program at Durham Technical Community College. She holds multiple certifications through both CBSPD and ISHM. Melinda is also an active member of AAMI and sits on several national standard writing committees, as well as the editorial board for BINT Magazine. Honestly, I could go on with the list of accomplishments and career highlights of Melinda, but we may just run out of time if I do that. So let's just get into this. Melinda, welcome to Healthmark and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for having me. I am super excited to be doing it and super excited and humbled and thrilled to be part of the Healthmark family.
Excellent. Well, we're thrilled to have you. And I was talking to you a little while back now, talking about possible topics for a podcast, and you brought up steam sterilization and documentation, which I think is obviously critically important for so many reasons. We typically talk a lot of things about cleaning and all of that, which is phenomenal, but I think this is a topic that we've kind of not really touched on too much. So just in your experience and in your mind, what makes this topic so important to you?
During my career in sterile processing, I've led teams and have been a part of over 11 joint commission audits. And it's a lot. I seem to be like the joint commission go-to person. I thought it was a punishment at one point.
Sounds like my experience.
But, you know, over those years, the one thing I can say in those different audits, I can see the focus joint commission has been putting on sterile processing shift and change to a greater focus, right? And more so, one of the things that really comes up quite often is the staff understanding and ability to decipher and read out, in particular, physical monitors of the sterilization process. I remember it as if it was yesterday in 2013. My first time Joint Commission auditor asked one of my team members why they are signing off on their printout. And I was just like dumbfounded, in the sense that they even knew to even ask that, like, you know.
Sure.
Thank God that team member could speak through the process. You know, we worked on teaching them how to read out that printout, what they're really looking for. But I was just so shocked that they, Joint Commission at that point, really understood and knew what they were looking for. And continuously after that, every Joint Commission audit I was going through, it just seemed to come up again and again and again. So as I go through different facilities in my career and travels, it comes up and I ask, you know, do you know how to read this out? And more often than not, nobody does. The technicians do not know how to read out that printout. I can ask, what are you looking for? And why are you signing this off? Just like Joint Commission asks, right? And their answer is always, well, I'm ensuring that the cycle was complete. That's great. How are you doing that?
Yeah.
I need more, you know, give me more, you know, and I'm the kind of person who will sit there and just keep going, why? And
yes,
they get so irritated with me. But, you know, I'm truly trying to get them to think on what they're doing. And so that's really the reason I wanted to talk about this, is because unfortunately out there, not many technicians, even OR staff, right? Like, you know, if they're doing this process, they don't know how to read it out and they're just signing their names off on something. So we really need to get to the point where we're able to speak through this, speak through that printout, understand what it means and what we're looking for. So that's really why I wanted to talk about this, and not just because of Joint Commission, but for patient safety, right? Like, that printout is a huge part of our sterilization process.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I unfortunately, it's funny you brought up OR staff. Well, and that happens to be one of part of my background as well as yours. And I can very honestly say there were times in my career where I was asked to IUSS some sort of item, obviously in an emergency situation or whatever. And I was definitely uncomfortable with the idea of trying to read the printout and understand what it was I was signing my name to. And, you know, eventually I did learn the proper way. But I think this is a topic that, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you go around and you actually get into departments, or you ask, you know, different techs, even in the same department, you might get a variety of different answers. And the Joint Commission, to your point, says those same things. They're like, why are you doing it? Like, why is your initials here? Why does this one text documentation look different than the one on afternoons from yesterday? Or, you know what I mean? This is what we see all the time. So I think it's really important when we talk about, you know, best practices and of any kind, really, is to understand what our standards and guidelines say. And so I guess that's my next question about this. What is ST-79? This is our guideline for steam sterilization. What do they say about the documentation for steam sterilization? What do we need to know?
So I just wanted to comment, when I was in the OR, I was just signing because I opened the door. That's what I thought.
We got to be honest, right?
I had no clue either. And by the way, let's be real. When we were doing this, it wasn't called IUSS. It was Flash, right?
Yep, that's true. Yep, absolutely.
So we're dating ourselves here. But
yes.
So back to your question with ST-79, you know, in ST-79-13, section 13.4, it lists physical monitors as a sterilization process monitor. And then it further goes to say that each of these devices plays a distinct and specific role in sterilization process monitoring, and each is indispensable in the sterility assurance. So right there, our standards state that this is extremely important, and it's extremely important that there are staff out there know how to read this and know how to decipher that printout. A little hard because there's a whole bunch of numbers, but no. But once you start practicing and getting it down, once you understand what you're reading, it becomes easier if you just keep doing it, and then you can be able to speak to it like nothing. The other part to that too is in AMI, the amendments that they just released in the beginning of the year. So Amendment 4 talks about documentation.
Yep.
And it states like the critical parameters of the sterilization process, such as like time and temperature, provided on the recording chart, printer, tape, and electric records should be reviewed, signed, and dated, whether you're doing a hard copy or an electronic copy. So basically, you have to review it first, then sign it, and make sure you have that information documented.
Yeah, like I said, the industry standards and guidelines, those are kind of where we start. IFUs is another one. This is where we start to learn what the expectations are. And those are going to be the expectations of Joint Commission, of CMS, when they come in and they survey. So that is why I think it is really important to understand these things. And you also brought up the point that there's a lot sometimes on those tapes in terms of numbers and things like that. So all the more reason to get more and more comfortable with what's on the tape. After all, we don't all use the exact same cycle for every single item, right? We're changing different cycles. So in that case, we really need to know what that printout is saying, because if we don't, then how do we know that the cycle we selected was the one that was run? And if the printout matches exactly what the cycle was and what we wanted. I mean, it's just critical, basic understanding that, unfortunately, like we talked about already, when we go into the real world scenarios, you can get a wide variety of responses when it comes to what people are looking for on the tape and what they're signing their name to. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, and you talked about electronic versus paper.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that's kind of also widely variable in departments today with the implementation of instrument tracking. Some of them have that integration where they talk to each other, some of them don't. And you have this, you still have to scan your physical printout in. At least in the way it was in my department, we had to understand the cycle that we selected on the printout. We had to understand that it reached temperature for the correct amount of time, and we had to be able to show that within the printout and then initial it at the end. Is that pretty much how it was for your understanding and your departments as well?
Yep, pretty much same concept. Whether we were doing electronic or handwritten documentation, it was the same process for the most part. And I just wanted to say, you know, kind of back to what we were talking about, different printouts, kind of touching on that, we also have the factor that every machine out there kind of prints differently. Mm. So, you know, have some machines that, you know, you got like a 10-foot roll that comes off.
Yes.
Okay, I'm exaggerating. It's not maybe that, but sometimes it feels like it, right? And then you have
like a CVS receipt.
Yes, exactly, right? That's going to be our new TikTok, right?
Yeah.
And then you have other roll, like other printouts that are, you know, very short and concise. So it really depends on the machine you have and how that machine is set to print, right? Because it could be printing every 2 minutes, or it can be printing every minute and a half, however the machine is set. And so those are real factors that need to be understood and looked at when you're doing this process or teaching the process to your staff or getting staff to understand.
That's a good point, because even in my own department, I know there's a lot of departments that are kind of fortunate in that they have all the same model sterilizer. We didn't. We had two of one model and one of another, you know, and so they all, to your point, they had different printouts that you had to understand.
You had a smorgasbord.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not the best way. I don't recommend it, but, you know, that was the reality.
Yeah, and then often you find that happen because it's like up in the OR, right? The OR has a different model most of the time versus what's down in sterile processing. So, you know, a lot of factors, but it's definitely, you know, back to our electronic and paper concept. So regardless of whether you're doing electronic or paper, like the amendment stated, you still need to follow certain directions of what needs to happen, right? You need to have your load sticker on your printout. You need to have initials, right? And so I hear a lot of people are like, well, I'm doing electronic, so do I need to keep the printout? And once again, I can't tell you that you have to. That's up to your hospital policy on what your documentation records are, mm-hmm. how long you keep it. But when I'm in hospitals, I strongly, strongly suggest that you at least keep that printout for the month, 3 months, and then, you know, discard it if you want. But I have so often come across situations where, you know, you have machines that interface with your tracking system. And so the electronic component is really great, but there's been multiple times where there's an upgrade to your interface or there's an upgrade to the hospital system and that interfacing doesn't happen. And so if you don't have somebody constantly paying attention to that and looking at those records, even on a daily basis to make sure they interface and you have that documentation, you could be missing it and you think it's in there, but it's not really coming up clearly or it's not actually showing up. So having that paper, at least you have a backup, you know, and I'm all for going paperless, but back yourself up, make sure you're covered.
Well, I like that you mentioned about interface because that is another variable that some places may have, some places may not. And I didn't have that experience with interface. it helps to hear you say that, because I thought that that was going to be some sort of magic bullet in terms of making sure your documentation was always in place and correct. And to hear you say that makes a lot of sense to me, but it also confirms, you know, that my assumption about that interface was wrong, right? So it's always good to have that paper trail, like you said, for some sort of established length of time, because that's what's going to allow you to then perform your own internal audit to make sure your documentation is complete. And, you know, just like with anything else, you know, like in my background, I'm a former OR nurse. We had to document everything. I mean, there's a medical legal component to this too, isn't there? You know, we have to be able to basically show in our records that the instruments that were used on patients were in fact put through the sterilization process, correct?
Correct. Exactly. You know, and another thing that I wanted to talk about with the electronic concept is the signing of the printouts. Basically, some facilities are like, no, I don't, you know, if there's a system, like a checkbox system in your SPM where your tracking system, whatever system you might use, if there's a way for you to document that, great. Mm-hmm. You know, but for the most part, what we would do was still take that printout. Staff would have to, like you said, sign, circle, you know, make sure they're acknowledging, they're looking for what they need to be, put the load print sticker on it, attach your chemical indicator to it, and then scan it in to the load and attach it to the electronic load. And then that's all they would keep, was that actual machine printout. Then we would keep it, you know, for what our facility's documentation timeframe. Whatever it may be, whether you're doing electronic signature or, you know, the staff are doing it that way and scanning it in, you know, however that's set up, just make sure that all the boxes are checked.
Yeah, exactly. We had similar issue. Well, I shouldn't say issues, but we had a similar practice in place at our old facility where even though we didn't have the interface, we had the printout, we had the chemical indicator that we stapled together and we scanned it and then put it, like uploaded it into the computer tracking system. And then we kept the, you know, that scanned copy in a box for the hospital records as well. And that was just how we did it. I mean, I thought that that was the best way to do it, because every once in a while, my lead tech would find holes in documentation and it was invaluable to have that to go back and reference on the rare occasion that that happened, you know? So I wanted to get one last concept on here before we call it quits. And that's just, you know, what in your experience are some, you know, best practices in terms of ensuring that everybody is not only competent with the printouts, but also documenting it every time, every load, every cycle correctly, every shift, every tech, you know, what would you recommend to the audience or to our listeners on how to make that happen?
So glad you mentioned every shift too, because a lot of times you go and you ask one shift or somebody from one shift and they'll say, oh yeah, we document, you know, the first line in the sterilize, like the S section, you know, and then the next shift, like, nope, we document the last line in the S section. And it's like, there needs to definitely be consistency. One of the things that I suggest is developing a standard work practice, either standard work, standard operating procedures, whatever you call them, create a standard process that everybody does it the same way every single time. Another key aspect is you can create a little quick picture and document like that shows what they're supposed to be documenting, laminate it and hang it up for them, have it right by their sterilization area. So if there's any question, they can always reference really quick back. So you can put some key bullets on there like, hey, you need to make sure your sterilization cycle, let's say it's set for 270 4 minute cycle. So 270 4 minutes, you want to make sure you're going to at your first S, find out when it first hit the 270 range. Look at the time, let's say it was at 1420, make sure it held in that 270 range for that 4 minutes. So, you know, steam sterilization, you got time, temperature, and pressure. Those are our parameters to make sure that our sterilization process happened, right? And so those are the things that we really need to be paying attention to. and ensuring that they are holding within the time. So that 4 minutes is your sterilization time. A lot of people, they're like, oh, I thought it meant dry time. That, nope, it's sterilization time. You know, dry time actually has nothing to do with it. Then your temperature, making sure that you hit the right temperature range, whatever you were set for, and it's holding, and then you're reaching your right pressure range.
Excellent. I think that is a perfect spot to end the episode. I really appreciate you sharing the best practices. I love that, you know, those ideas in terms of across all the shifts, everybody doing the same thing, the standard operating procedure. So some people call those SOPs. Some people might just call it a policy procedure. You know, whatever you call it, make sure it's in place. Everyone understands it. And then that wall chart. Love it. Love that idea.
And audit.
Yep.
Audit, you know, audit your staff. See what they're doing.
Yep. You got to follow up. See that the things that you think are happening are actually happening. Don't ever assume that. So anyway, thank you so much, Melinda. I really appreciate it. It's a great topic and great advice, great ideas. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. And Kevin, before I go, I want to give a shout out to the SPD world and say happy SPD week to everyone out there.
Yes.
I really hope that you guys have a great week and really get to celebrate you because you guys are awesome.
Yes. Happy CS week, everybody. Thank you for what you do. All right, just to recap this episode, we went back to the basics of steam sterilization documentation with one of the newest educators here at HealthMark, Melinda Ellamari. As education specialists here at HealthMark, we have the privilege of going into sterile processing departments all over the U.S. And one thing that we see consistently is that the understanding and practice of checking the sterilizer printout tape across departments and shifts and techs is anything but consistent. What are you looking for when you look at the sterilizer printout? Are you looking for the key parameters, and do you know how to find them? Do you know why you're signing it? Generally, you should find the cycle selected on the printout and circle it to indicate that you know what you're looking for. Then find the reading of the temperature, verify that that temperature was reached for the selected amount of time, and circle that. Then make sure the correct pressure was maintained. And lastly, initial or sign the printout and save according to your policy and procedure. Remember, this practice is supported by ANSI AMI ST79 and should be done correctly every load, every time. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you're having an exceptional sterile processing week and getting the recognition you deserve. Thank you for listening, and never stop learning. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.